Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. My name is Scott Klein, and I'd like to welcome the one, the only, the DocumentDB guy, Ryan Crocker. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott.
Awesome.
It's been a while since I've been here.
Yep.
About 9 months, in fact.
Way too long.
A lot happens in 9 months.
A lot happens in 9 months, so we're glad to have you back to talk about what has happened with DocumentDB in those 9 months.
Yeah. And today's an exciting day for us because...
Oh, pray tell!
It is DocumentDB GA's today.
Woo! Happy
dance.
That's
it?
Yeah, all right.
And as you can tell, I probably haven't been working on my dancing skills for 9 months.
You and me both?
You and me both.
We have no dancing skills.
But we have been working on DocumentDB furiously for 9 months.
Okay.
And we've done some cool stuff. So let's talk about
what we talk about. So GA today.
Yeah, GA today.
Awesome. So what's let's talk about what has changed in the last 9 months.
Absolutely.
We're gonna make sure it's not another 9 months before we have you back.
Yep, indeed. While we have been doing a lot of things in 9 months, we have got so much more planned.
Okay.
It's just not even funny. So before we dive in and kind of go to that, I just wanted to do a quick recap on document databases, right? So, you know, document database, a lot of people come to me and say, document database, what is it? You know, and I think it's important to know that document databases are great for that kind of document. Right,
yep.
You know, JSON document.
JSON document.
Nicely kind of deeply nested. You got some arrays, you got some nesting, you got a whole bunch of things. So they're really, really good for that kind of document.
Yep.
They're not so good for this kind of document, right? This is still JSON, but it's very flat and it's very kind of big blocks of text and you want to start searching inside of this block of text.
Right.
Not so good for that. There are better solutions for that, like Azure Search, for instance.
Oh, okay.
You know, this may be a better document to put into Azure Search because this is a big block of text that you can start searching in. It's a flat JSON structure. You know, there's only kind of two properties on this compared to the previous document that was deeply nested and a whole lot of properties that you want to look at.
So document D is more fitted for JSON documents, but highly structured,
highly hierarchical, you know, deeply nested, lots of arrays, you know, that kind of stuff. That's the kind of JSON document we're looking for.
Okay.
And then, you know, document databases are definitely not for this kind of document, right?
Right.
A lot of people have come to me and said, Ryan, I've got these documents, I'd like to put them in document database. And I look at the document and it's a Word doc or it's an Excel doc, and I'm like, no.
Yeah,
SharePoint's probably better for that, right?
Yep.
So when you think of document, don't think of these kinds of documents. Think of those highly structured kind of JSON documents.
Yeah, and this is, again, you know, this is kind of the stuff you can, you know, put in SharePoint or put in Azure Blob Storage and then throw Azure Search on top of that.
Yeah, or, you know, put this kind of stuff in Blob Storage and then construct a metadata file, you know, that's your JSON file of the properties you want to search on, and put the metadata file in DocumentDB. And then you can kind of have this content management or document management system if you want.
Even better answer, yeah.
With that kind of thing.
Yep.
So, you know, don't try and put those kind of documents natively in.
You'll get a nice error message. This does not belong in DocumentDB.
Yes. So, kind of a recap of the landscape. This is where DocumentDB fits into the Azure kind of landscape, right?
Yep.
It fits nicely in between the full relational engines that you've got from SQL and the very kind of unstructured data that you've got in table storage and blob storage. DocumentDB fits nicely in between and gives you, you know, best of both worlds from both sides.
Yep.
And then, you know, just our four commandments that we kind of like live and die by, right? You know, the fact that we want to be able to give you this real query over schema-free data. We don't want you to go and create schemas. We don't want you to imply schemas or infer schemas. You know, we just index everything and we let you kind of query over it.
Upload your document, make it very easy to work with your JSON documents, right?
Absolutely. You know, just kind of put the document in there and start working
with it.
And then, you know, multi document transactions, that, you know, that's one thing that we feel very passionate about. And we've taken some decisions in the system. Some of the things that we've done are specifically, you know, to cater for this multi-document transactions. Because we found that a lot of people that are moving away into the NoSQL world, you know, they miss the fact that you can do this transaction. So you can kind of, you know, create a customer document and create an order document and have them persisted together inside of one atomic transaction.
Yeah.
You know. So we're pretty happy that you can do that inside of DocumentDB.
Yep.
And then the fact that it's tunable, You know, a lot of times you get this kind of database and you're like, well, okay, cool, I can work with the parameters that the database gives me, but I can't do very much to it. So I can't go in and tune, you know, this lever or flick that switch or adjust this kind of meter. You know, we've given you a lot of, even though DocumentDB is the service that we give you and we take that headache away from managing it, yeah. We give you a lot of tunable kind of, you know, stuff in there. So we give you these little levers and
knobs and switches can, to say, yeah. Hey, yeah, what's my best, you know, exactly. From a consistency standpoint, yeah. And things like that.
I want higher throughput, I want less throughput, yeah. I want this consistency, I want that consistency, yep. I want this indexing, that indexing, you know, so we give you lots of those, yep. Kind of levers.
Perfect.
And then, you know, we really do feel passionate about the fact that we've designed this to be cloud first, right? Yeah. We really kind of thought about how do you take a database and deliver it to thousands of millions of tenants, yeah. You know, on you know, nodes around the world in, you know, 15 data centers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we get asked a lot, you know, it's, hey, when are you going to put this on-prem, right? And yeah. That one attributes to the fact that this is an awesome service, right? And it's so good that people are like, you know, can we put this on-prem?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
But no, it's cloud first because it fits, like you said in that last slide, right?
Absolutely.
It fits that gap between relational and non-relational. How do we do a highly scalable, schema-free, you know, all these buzzword, all these, yeah. Awesome technology, data,
you know,
store.
Scale out, you know, elastic,
right.
Nature,
yeah.
You know, all of that kind of stuff. So it really has been designed for cloud first. And,
yep.
And we're kind of happy about that.
Yep. It should be, right? Because it's an awesome service,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the fact that, you know, I think you kind of touched on this, right? For those that have not or have played with even a DocumentDB, it's very easy to use, right?
Yeah.
I can use...
It's dead easy.
Yeah, because I can use T-SQL. I can use languages that I already know.
Absolutely.
To query document. I don't have to, you know, this hideous URI type of path.
Or this JPath kind of thing,
yeah,
that just looks...
Select star from document, right?
Absolutely.
And done.
Awesome. So, I mean, that's one of the things that we've really tried as well. You know, we looked at a lot of different things that were out there, and we thought, well, you know, one of the biggest problems to adopting a technology is that barrier to entry.
Yep.
And we really wanted to kind of make that barrier to entry as low as possible. Sure,
yeah.
There's some new techniques that you've got to learn, and there's some things that are different.
Yep.
But yeah,
but
I mean,
the learning curve is very minimal.
But we've tried to keep that learning curve as minimal as possible.
Yep.
You know, insert a document, start querying for it,
yeah.
And it should be as easy as possible.
Perfect, so, yeah. And people that use that know that very well.
Yeah. Right. You know, and then I think one of the things that we're particularly proud about is that, you know, we've got, you know, for a long time, Microsoft has been, hey, dog food, you know, we eat our own dog food and that kind of stuff. And we've been really, really happy with the fact that a number of internal Microsoft services have come to us and said, hey, we want to use this thing. You know,
yep.
And it's not like we want to use this thing because it's a Microsoft service. In fact, we started building DocumentDB because Microsoft Services came to the data platform group and said, hey, we're looking for a database that does this, and we don't have one. You know,
yep.
There isn't one available. You know, what do we do? So that's where DocumentDB started, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we've had so many internal services come to us and say, guys, this is great. We just want to use this thing.
Yeah.
You know? And MSN is probably one of our biggest internal users today. You know, they launched September 2014 with the health and fitness app. That's not my health, and so I didn't burn those many calories in one day.
Yeah, we aspire to get to there.
Yeah, exactly. That's my happy dance jigs, how many calories
that's
it burns.
Right. We burn maybe two or three.
But you can see I'm nowhere near my target. I'm only about halfway near my target.
Exactly.
But, you know, this app, the diet tracker, so when you log in and you kind of track that you ate a banana for breakfast and you had some bacon as a snack and, you know, that kind of stuff, that's going into DocumentDB, you know, so every user has documents that kind of track their daily activity,
yep.
Track their health activity. So when you go for a run with the Microsoft Band and it uploads into health and fitness, all of that stuff is in DocumentDB. So today that is serving millions of users.
Yep.
MSN's about to roll out a bigger version than this, and that's across all the MSN services.
Yeah.
And that's across finance, it's across news, it's across sport, it's across everything. Basically, user personalization. So every user that belongs to MSN,
yeah.
Gets this user personalization kind of feed that says, hey, these are the news stories I'm interested in, the sports teams I'm interested in. All of that stuff's being stored in DocumentDB.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's about a scale to hundreds of millions of
users. Yep.
And that's a really big kind of, you know, win for us. People come to me and say, DocumentDB is great, but it's this kind of like little, you know, experiment or whatever. It's not. It's serving hundreds of millions of users a day.
And
this thing can scale.
It has been for what?
Has been for all 8 months.
8 months.
Yeah. August, September. Yeah, so 8 months, it's been serving millions and millions of users. It's about to get ramped up to the next level.
Yep.
It's going to go to hundreds of millions of users pretty soon.
And this is a kind of a tribute to not only DocumentDB, but the Azure platform as well, right?
Absolutely.
The whole platform as a service scenario, right?
This thing scales.
Yeah,
this thing really scales. And you know, for someone like MSN to back all their applications and their user profiles and preferences on a service and a platform like this, that's I believe testament.
Oh, absolutely.
To what we can
that's
do.
That's fantastic.
But you know what? It's not only internal services that use us. You know, we're starting during the preview. We've had huge adoption from external kind of customers, and these are some of the use cases that you can see if you go to our service page on Azure.com. You'll be able to read about these use cases. And there's some big external companies. You know, Telenor, major telecommunications provider, has bet on us.
Yep.
News Republic, you know, if you've got the News Republic app on your phone where you can kind of go in and get personalized news and then you can rate the news article and comment and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like Yelp for news articles. News Republic, you know, backs on bets on DocumentDB and uses us as their platform.
Yeah,
so there's some really, really big names that are starting to kind of come on board, and there's some even bigger names, especially in this space over here for Event Store for IoT systems. You know, we've got car manufacturers that are storing car telemetry and all that kind of stuff inside of DocumentDB.
That's fantastic.
So some really, really big systems that are serving, you know, massive platforms.
Great case studies for DocumentDB.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Fantastic.
So let's take a look at kind of some of the things. So we launched public preview 21 August 2014, probably a day I'll remember forever. And then, you know,
no stress whatsoever that
day. No stress whatsoever. All for the weeks leading up to it. But, you know, some of the cool things that we've built since then, you know, we've built, you know, when we first launched, the portal experience was very light. You could go in and provision an account, create a database, and that was basically it. Today, I'll show you briefly what the portal experience looks like. You know, you'll see we've put a lot of work into that portal experience. We've done a lot of work around our indexing engine. So we, one of the things that we built from the ground up when we started DocumentDB was this index engine, right? And the ability to do sustained indexing and in the face of high write loads, high read writes, you know, that kind of stuff, but still be able to index all your documents consistently all the time. We've been optimizing that index engine. We've been optimizing the query engine. We've added things like SQL parameterization. So now in that SQL query that you speak about, you know, you can add in properly typed SQL parameters. You know, we've increased the number of the limits. So we came under a lot of fire when we first launched the preview in early August because we had some fairly strict limits on there. But it was done because this was a preview service. It was the first time we were putting it out to thousands of users. We wanted to make sure that we didn't kind of, you know, overpromise and underdeliver.
Right.
So we put some pretty heavy restrictions on there. And over time, what we've been doing is we've been looking at the lifecycle metrics. We've been looking at the telemetry. We've been seeing how everything's been handling and how things have been going.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, we've been raising those limits. You know, so we've raised the limit from 16K to 512K for a
document size.
You know, we've raised the number of stored procs and the number of ands and ors and the number of, you know, CUs and collections that people can create. So we've been doing that over time. And we're going to continue doing that. You know, as the service goes, you know, now GA and goes forward, we're going to keep looking at that telemetry and we're going to keep looking and go, well, you know what? We can handle more than 512, okay, that's up the limit.
Yeah.
And we want to do that in such a way that we ensure that our customers have a continued great experience.
Right.
You know, we could lift that limit today and go, you know what, you can have a 16 meg limit.
Yep.
But we don't really want to do that because we're not yet sure what that kind of does.
Yep.
You know, so we want to make sure that we can kind of go in these slow increments
and continually
improve.
Don't over-deliver and have things, you know, not perform the way they want, right? Just deliver and make what makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd rather kind of go, you know, in this journey in small steps forward.
Yep.
You know, and then we've done regional expansion. You know, we're now available in two data centers in the US, in the two European data centers. We're now available in two Asian data centers. So we're in East Asia and Southeast Asia.
Yep.
We have plans very soon to kind of expand that even further,
okay,
you know, into Japan, into Australia, into some of the other Azure data centers. So that regional expansion will continue as well, you know, and as customers come to us and say, hey, I've got this massive application, but I want to be in South Central US or whatever, you know, then we will accelerate, you know, necessarily, you know, region expansion plans,
perfect,
as we need. You know, we've done things like we've built the Java SDK.
Yeah, we had a show on that.
You had Andrew from from the Java SDK, and because of the Java SDK, we've been able to do things like a Hadoop connector, right?
Yep.
So now with the Hadoop connector, you can actually issue a SQL query. Okay, so Hadoop can issue a SQL query, get back a filtered result set. So you don't actually have to look at all the data in DocumentDB. You can get back a filtered result set, and then you can kind of do your MapReduce job over that.
That's sweet.
And you can then take the results of that, and you can put them wherever you like. Right. You can put them into SQL. You can put them back into DocDB.
Sure.
You know, you can do whatever you want.
That is excellent.
So that's there. And then working with the Azure Search team, you've had Liam on the show. Working with the Azure Search team, you know, they came on board and helped us create an Azure Search Indexer for DocumentDB.
Yep.
So
yep.
now you can define this indexer that then crawls through your DocumentDB account and automatically indexes it for you.
Yeah, that is sweet.
So that's pretty cool. So those are some of the things that we've done, you know, and...
Just be honest here, that's not anything to, you know, to sneeze at. That is a significant list.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's a lot more that's going on in the background there. I mean, I think since I don't know the exact numbers, but since we've launched, you can count the number of weeks, right? It's been 9 months, so 36 weeks or so.
Yep.
You know, I think we've done at least 30 kind of service upgrades in the background. So that's a service upgrade every week where we've pushed out new features, changes, optimizations, you know, that kind of stuff. So we've been taking feedback from our preview customers. We've been taking that on board. We've been then sending that kind of stuff back out. So
perfect.
You know, on average, once a week, we've been pushing out new upgrades.
Right. So, excellent.
It's been a good cadence, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So if we take a look at where we are today, you know, we'll talk a little bit about some new pricing offers.
Okay.
That was one of the big feedback items that came through preview. You know, customers started using it and went, you know what, this whole concept of a capacity unit and collections and resource units and all that kind of stuff, it just got really complicated. And people kind of got... It was very difficult to figure out and understand. So we've simplified that, and we'll talk a little bit about how we've simplified that. And we've made it a lot more flexible as well. So we've given people, while we've simplified it, we've actually made it more flexible.
Perfect, okay.
It's kind of cool. We've built some data import tools, import-export tools.
Okay.
Because if you come into a new platform, the biggest thing you're going to go is, well, I've got my data here.
Yeah.
I want to get
it
here.
How do I get all these documents into the document? Yeah.
You know, how do I get all my CSV files or all my records from this database into this database?
Yeah.
So we've helped out with that. You know, we've got some built-in system functions, you know, so we've always allowed you to create UDFs.
Yep.
So I can always go and create my own custom user-defined function like you could in SQL Server.
Yeah.
We now have some built-in system functions. So things like square root and substring and trim and all of that kind of stuff, they're now there.
Okay.
So there's a whole list of built-in system functions.
Yeah.
We've done some query improvements. So I can now do things like I can use the coalesce operator, I can use the ternary operator, I can use between. So I can say, hey, give me all the documents where this timestamp is between this value and that value.
Yeah.
You know, so some of those things.
And that's powerful because this is, you know,
huge.
A lot of people that use this are like, you know, hey, I don't, again, don't have to learn a whole new syntax. I'm a SQL guy.
These are syntaxes that I've been used to using, so we've just been adding them to the query language. We've got a whole list of more ones that we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to add in the in operator, for instance. I can say, give me documents where this value is in this list of values.
Yep.
You know, that stuff's still coming, but, you know, we're continuing to improve the query engine. And like I say, just because we're GAing today, you know, the improvements don't stop today.
Right.
You know, I think we're just getting going.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
It's V1, right? V2.
V2 will be tomorrow. And index policy enhancements, you know, we're continually improving our indexing policy. You know, before we never had recursive exclude or recursive includes, we had a recursive exclude. So if I wanted to go and say, starting at this part of a document, include everything below this or exclude everything below this, you can now do both today.
Perfect.
You
know,
so there's a bunch of stuff that we've done there. So let's take a look quickly at the pricing offers. So what we're going to do from today going forward is we're going to have this notion, we've got rid of capacity units. So this concept of a capacity unit, it's gone.
Okay.
What we've got today is we have collections. Okay. And in the .db world, if you've heard me talk about anything, you'll know that I say collections aren't tables.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Collections are more partitions. They're logical, or they're actually not logical. They're a physical partition. They're a physical entity that we assign resources to.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can choose how much throughput you get on a collection. All right, so you've got an S1, an S2, and an S3.
Mm-hmm.
So an S1 will give you this notion of 250 request units per second. Okay, an S2 is 1,000, and an S3 is 2,500 request units per second.
Okay.
Now, each of them come with 10 gig of storage. All right, so if you want 20 gig or 30 gig or 1 terabyte, you just need to kind of buy more collections.
Yep.
Now, the nice thing is that this operation on a collection is elastic. right? So I can take a collection that's an S1 today, and I can kind of, you know, read it at a nice rate, and then at the end of the month, I know I'm gonna get a big bulk of writes. I can scale this S1 up to an S3 for a couple of hours,
yep,
except in the higher load, and then scale it back down to an S1,
yeah, right?
And we charge you, so these values that you see down here are in US dollars,
yep,
and we charge, that's a per month.
Per month,
right?
Value.
But it's an actually, you actually get charged per hour, right? So it's $25 per month, but we kind of figure it out per hour.
So it's amortized over, depending on, you know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I take an S1 collection and I scale it up to an S3 for 3 hours, I'll pay $1,000 divided by 720, because that's about how many hours there are in a month, times three. And for the rest of the month, I'll pay the S1's kind of fee.
Yeah.
And that's how we figure it out.
Right? Okay.
Now the nice thing as well is, in an account, I can have an S1 collection and an S3 collection, right? And what we've seen customers using this for is, you kind of use the S3 collection where you put all your real hot data, the data you're working with right now, you put it in your S3 collection because it's got a high throughput rate.
Yep.
But then over time, you want to kind of age that data out slowly, right?
Yep.
So data that's 6 months old may not be getting queried. It's not getting written to, and it's not getting queried as frequently. So what you want to do is, you want to take that S3 collection, make it an S2, and then over time make it an S1. So the storage becomes cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, but you want to actually query on it, it's still there and it's still available for you to query, right?
Okay.
And then eventually, I guess, after a year or 5 years or 10 years, whatever your retention policy is, you'd move it out of DocumentDB, you'd dump it into
this gives you the flexibility and granularity to say, hey, how do I use, what kind of performance level given certain criteria, things like that.
And you can mix and match these, and you can scale them up elastically, and you can scale them down, and we believe that this kind of offers a much more flexible way that you can pick and choose depending on what your workload is.
Okay, that's perfect. And what I like about that is, it sort of, you know, it follows the same model as Azure SQL Database, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, not DTUs, you got RUs, but I'm not stuck to a CU like you had before, right?
No, yeah.
It really follows the same model that you see from Azure SQL Database.
Absolutely.
So there's,
yeah,
get that familiarity.
One of the cool things that you can do here is within a database. So within a single database, I can have an S1 and an S2 and an S3 within that same database, which you can't really do with Azure SQL DB. But, you know, with us...
But those, same premise, right? Because I can say, hey, I want to make my S2 and S3 or
absolutely.
Down an S1 and things like that, right?
Yeah. So you can scale them up, scale them down.
Yep. Based on performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
Then the other thing that we've been working on is this data import tool, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people have said to us, hey, how do I get data into DocDB? And I'd published some sample code that kind of showed you how to do it, but we thought we needed to do more than just some sample code. So we've wrapped it up and we've built it into an actual, you know, utility that you can download today from the download center. You can even go to GitHub and you can get the source code. So it's open source. You can go and contribute to it as well. So if you see today, we support import from Mongo, directly from Mongo, or from Mongo export files, from CSV, from JSON, from SQL. Okay, so you can even point this thing at SQL and say, hey, take some SQL Server data and import it if you want.
Yeah.
And what it does is it flattens it up and denormalizes it, turns it into JSON and imports it, right? Or you can go from DocumentDB to DocumentDB.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going from, you wanted to move from East US to Southeast Asia, right? So you can kind of import from DocumentDB into DocumentDB.
Right.
Now, you may be standing there and going, oh, I actually want to go from Oracle or MySQL or RavenDB or whatever, right? And it's not there. Well, what you can do is you can go to GitHub. You can open up the source. There's a nice extensible model.
Oh,
you
perfect.
Can go in. You can extend it. You can write your own connector and contribute
back
to the
tool. So these import and exports are open source,
yeah,
right? Okay, so you can extend it however you want.
Yeah, and you can contribute back,
very
and
nice.
Then, you know, there will be a whole bunch more stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Do you have control? Go back there real quick. Do you have control over how the JSON document is structured through these tools?
Yes and no. Some of them, like from the SQL one, what we do there is we say, well, okay, what you do is you construct up a SQL query, or you build a SQL view and then you query from the view. So the control of how you structure the JSON document, you know, comes from that that view. But you do have control on how the data is then structured into JSON.
Yeah, so basically you'll have to go modify your view based on how you want your document.
You go modify your view or your query and then we'd suck it in from there.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, demo time.
All right, so if we kind of go to the demo. So this is the import export tool. Let me move it so that I'm not blocking half the screen. Okay. So what you can do is you go next and you pick your source of data, right? So there's the sources we support today. I'm just going to pick a JSON file, right? So you pick a JSON file, you can browse to your file. So let's go to some data that I've prepared earlier. And here's like stocks, right? So I've gone off to the NASDAQ or whatever, and I've pulled out stock information.
Yep.
All right. So I want to grab stock information, and I'm going to say okay. And then, you know, you just go off to the target one, and it wants a connection string. Now the connection string is kind of, this is the format for the connection string. Now this you'll get from the Azure portal. Please don't remember my Azure key, but don't worry, I can rotate the keys afterwards.
That's right.
But if you want to kind of write that key down and remember it, sure, go for it.
Have at it.
Have at it.
We'll be changing that after the show.
Yeah, right after the show, I'll be changing that. So if we go back to there, I can paste in that key. And the key is just literally the account endpoint, the key, and the name of the database. But it looks like a connection string, right?
Yep.
And then what I want to be able to do is I want to kind of put this into, let's create a collection called stocks.
Yep.
All right. And I can choose that pricing tier that we had.
Nice. Yep.
So I want to pick a slow pricing tier just because my credit card doesn't have that much money left on it. But you know, if you're running this import tool, you really want to kind of think about going for like the high performance one, because that'll get your import in quicker. And then once the data is imported, you can then scale it back down if you wish.
Yep.
Now you can do some cool things over here. Like you can say, okay, if there is an ID field that's in my document, so I know the JSON file has actually got something called object ID in it, right?
Yeah.
I want that value to be the ID in document DB. I don't want it to go create a new ID field.
Sure.
I can map that in here.
Okay.
Right. Now I know this data that I'm using actually doesn't have an ID field, so I'm not going to go and do that.
Okay.
So I can choose over here.
So you can specify what field in that document you want the ID to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, right over here I can go do things like I can go pick my bulk import script. Okay, so what this thing is going to do, this is a JavaScript stored procedure. So what this tool is going to do for you is it's actually going to go create the stored procedure on the fly, then submit batches of documents to the stored procedure, and when it's finished, it'll delete the stored procedure for you.
Oh, perfect.
Okay?
Yep.
I can choose my batch size.
Now, would users have to create their own bulk insert JavaScript stored procedure?
The tool ships with the default one.
Okay.
But if you want to go and edit it and modify it for whatever reason, you can go do that. The JS file will be included with the tool.
Coolness.
You can go pick your batch size. So depending on the size of your document, you may want a bigger batch or smaller batch. You know, so I'm just going to stick with the defaults. I can do things like disable, automatic ID generation. So if I know there's an ID field in my document, I can disable that and I'll get better performance.
Fantastic. Yep.
But in my case, there isn't one, so I'm going to leave it. Now, this one's kind of cool as well. Is what do I want to do with datetime fields? Do I want to persist them as a string, as a number, or as both? So I'm just going to say both, right? So now I'll get the pretty string value that I can actually read human readable, and I'll get an epoch number that will actually be queryable. So I can actually then go and query on that.
Oh, nice. Right? That's where you get the between and the ins and things like that.
Okay, yeah, greater than the last 7 days
or
whatever, right? And then I can specify my retry policy. I can choose whether I want to be direct TCP, gateway, whatever I want to be able to do, right? So I'm going to just go next and hit import. Now, the cool thing is you see this button over here called view command.
Yep.
Okay. So not only is this available as a UI, okay, it's also available as a command line tool, right? So I can actually schedule this. I can kick it off in PowerShell. I can write code to kick this thing off. I can set up, you know, Azure web jobs or whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And all that tool that I did, the config for that is now output into this kind of thing. I can copy this and I can actually run it in a command prompt if I want. So if I now go hit import, you will see it should start off and there it goes, okay? And it's 600 documents, 700 documents, a couple of thousand documents.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going along.
So that's actually quite fast too.
I actually can't remember how many stock items I've got in here. There's probably about 15,000 or so.
Okay.
So it'll take a couple of seconds.
That's
to
all
import.
Right. We can move
but
on.
The nice thing is, you know, once that happens, it's a good segue to kind of go and show you.
Pretty cats.
Pretty cats. No, not really. we'll move away from the pretty cats for now and go to the Azure portal. And if I go to my DocumentDB account, and you can actually see there's the spike you know, right now as I start loading documents into it. I think I'm putting it into stocks or samples. And there's the stocks collection. Okay, it's actually being created for me. I can now browse to the stocks collection.
And that's good to know because that tool will actually create the collection for you.
It actually creates the collection for you. So I can come to that. I can see some info. This info takes a couple of seconds to kind of upload or refresh.
Yep.
But if I come down here and I go to Document Explorer, you'll actually start seeing some of the documents there. So give it a sec. Oops.
Yeah, that's right. Stocks.
I don't know why I'm not seeing any documents, but let's go to companies, for instance. These are some other documents that I've done, and I go and open a company document, and there I can now see a full JSON kind of editor inside of inside of the query, inside of the portal. Now, we never had this before, so you had no visibility into what was inside your database.
Yep.
The kind of cool thing is I can do something like this, and I can go Scott's cool company, and right here I can actually just go and say save. And now I've made an edit.
That back to
I've made an edit to my to my document.
Cool.
I can also go, you know, right in here, and I can go to the Query Explorer, and I can do, I can start writing some queries, right? So I can say select, let's go to companies, select star from where, what was it called? C dot was a company name. I can't remember what I changed it to. Hold on. Document Explorer. I can't remember what the field was.
Well, there's all our stocks.
Oh, the stocks have come through. All right, cool. So there's the stocks have come through. So let's go and have a look at ticker, for instance, right?
Yep.
So there's a field called ticker. So if I go along to Query Explorer, I can now say from stocks, I can say where C dot ticker equals MSFT. Okay. And if I run that query, there it is. Okay.
Yep.
So there's the Microsoft stock, and that was the data that was in it was imported for me.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. And there you can actually see what the JSON document looks like. So those are some of the enhancements that we've done to this portal. We've done a whole lot of other things around metrics and charts and billing and all of that kind of stuff. So it's all there.
Okay.
So that's mostly what I kind of wanted to show you there. All right, so that was a kind of quick demo of the import-export tools, some of the new pricing kind of stuff. So that's where we are today. And I think, just to kind of wrap up, just to give you an idea of where we're heading in the next, maybe 3 months.
Okay.
And that's why I've said maybe 3 months. So when 3 months are up.
Don't hold us to it.
Don't hold me to it. But this is kind of like a rough idea of where we're going in 3 months. So we're going to have a sharding library. Okay. So one of the things you'll notice that if you have a 100 gig database, right, you're going to have 10 collections because each collection can only be 10 gig in size.
Sure.
So your application is going to need to shard. So today, users actually have to build a lot of that sharding logic themselves, or they have to build all of that sharding logic themselves.
Right.
We're going to have a sharding library that all will kind of abstract that from you. And you'll actually just be able to talk to the library, and it'll then figure out which collection or collections the data should go to, or what the data is in.
Okay. Right?
We'll have some more query enhancements. So that's something we're working on all of the time, is query enhancements. Okay.
Yeah.
The big one that everybody's been asking for is order by, right?
Yeah.
We know it's a big ask.
You want to sort your document.
Yeah. Okay. We know it's a big ask.
Yeah.
We've had to do a lot of kind of underlying kind of things to make sure that when we do order by, it's done properly.
Yep.
We could have rolled order by out in a week. But it wouldn't have been great.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure that when we roll it out, it's going to be a good, good quality kind of stuff. We're going to be doing things like string ranges. So you can do, hey, give me a document where a string starts with this value.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to have things like a basic offer.
The S1, S3, is it going to be a basic or kind of a tier?
It's going to be a basic. There will be a basic tier, which will be a much, much cheaper tier.
Yeah.
You'll be more constrained on performance, more constrained on storage, but it'll be a really good tier for kind of development that you can actually just get going and pay.
Yeah.
It'll still be a paid tier, so it won't be a free tier, but it'll be much, 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 much cheaper than an S1.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then potentially in the future, we may have other kinds of tiers. We may have a premier tier in the future.
Yeah,
who knows?
Okay.
Right. Online index policy updates is another big one. Today, when you create a collection, you specify the index policy, and that index policy lives with the collection. Very shortly, we're going to be able to allow you to change the index policy without recreating the collection.
Yeah.
Because today it's a bit of a pain. Your data changes, your workload changes. Now you want to go and update the index policy.
Yep.
You can't, right? So you have to create a new collection with a new index policy and then move all your data over, which is just, it's not a great experience. Yep. And then we're going to get ID-based resource routing. So today, when you do routing to any kind of resource in DocDB, you get this funky thing called a self-link, right? Yeah. And the self-link looks something like this. That value over the, so it's a value that you'll know that if you've actually worked with DocumentDB at all, you'll know what a self-link is, right?
Yeah.
And people have expressed to us fairly strongly that self-links are kind of confusing and difficult to work with. So we're gonna introduce an ID-based routing as well. So the ID that you supply, either the database ID, the collection ID, or the document ID, you'll be able to route to the resource using the ID you've given us.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a fairly big change. So those are some of the things that we're kind of doing in the next 3 months after, after the dust has settled from GA.
Okay.
So an insight into some of the stuff that we're doing. And that's pretty much it.
Awesome. That's fantastic. So great work over the next 9 months. We look forward to the next three.
Yep.
So hopefully we'll have, won't be another, we'll have.
It won't be another 9 months. Hopefully I'll be before 3 months or up.
That's right. And we'll work on our dancing.
That's it. We'll do some practicing before then.
Before then.
Indeed.
Awesome. Hey, Ryan, thank you for coming. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And we'll see you in a few months' time.
We'll see you in a few months' time. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time.
Cool. Thank you.